Larchemont presents a Howis and Batchelor production. Based on George Orwell's memorable fable, Animal Farm. A tree in full bloom is framed against a backdrop of lush green countryside.
To the world we all know, which may or may not be the best world possible, once again springtime had come. But all the magic of spring was not enough to conceal the misery of Manor Farm.
The farmhouse, barn, and outbuildings are in a poor state of repair.
Once thriving and fruitful, the farm and its owner, Mr. Jones, had fallen on evil days.
The farm sits within a gated fence.
Beset by problems of his own making, Mr. Jones had turned to drink.
In a nearby town.
And for his misery, he had found poor company.
Mr. Jones sits in the pub, drinking with two cronies. At Manor Farm, night is beginning to fall.
On the evening our story begins, it was later than usual when Mr. Jones came home from his drinking to make his rounds.
By the light of his lantern, Mr. Jones fumbles with the lock on the farm gate. As Jones lurches across the barnyard, a pig lifts his head. His eyes bleary with sleep. As Jones stumbles past a chicken coop, frightened hens shrink into the shadows.
Damned old hens.
Jones slams the coop door shut with his boot, and it falls off its hinges. As he reaches the barn, the cows cringe fearfully. A horse and a donkey look timidly out of a stall.
Good for nothing, beasts. Eat their heads off.
Joan slams the stall door shut. On it, a nameplate reads, Boxer and Benjamin. The two animals nudge the stall door open a crack and peer at Jones as he reels away, a bottle held to his lips. Three pigs frown at Jones' receding figure, while a dog stirs sleepily on the farmhouse doorstep. The animal cowers in the glare of Jones' lantern, then slinks off. Jones throws his bottle at the dog, as other animals look on in dismay. Jones enters the farmhouse and turns on a light. The animals watch and wait until the last light in the farmhouse goes out.
On this night, all the animals had agreed that as soon as Mr. Jones was in bed, they would gather in the main barn for a secret meeting called by Old Major, the prize boar hog, who because of his years was regarded as by far the wisest of the animals. The pigs started first for the meeting, being clever and fond of taking the lead.
With their snouts, the pigs pry a slap from their sty and squeeze out into the barnyard.
They were followed by Boxer, largest and strongest of the horses, and his devoted friend, Benjamin, the donkey. All the other animals, great and small, were anxious to get there, for such a meeting had never been held before.
Goats and sheep join the pigs, and they all pour through the barnyard into the barn. huddle together as they wait for the meeting to begin.
Old Major had been ailing, and now he had made known there were some things he wanted to say to his fellow animals before it might be too late.
As the chickens and pigeons flutter in and take their places in the rafters, a duckling clamors for attention behind the larger animals. Boxer, the horse, gently picks it up in his mouth and moves it to where it can see.
It took a while for all to find their seats. The pigs had taken up the best positions immediately in front of the platform, among them Snowball, determined to get a good view. And Napoleon, equally determined, and even less polite.
Finally, Old Major prepares to begin his speech.
What was that?
Bug-eyed, the animals watch a door swing open, but it's only a cat.
No. No, it wasn't, Mr. Jones.
The cat strolls leisurely in front of the assembled animals, ignores Old Major's glare, and lies next to the dog.
And at last, everyone could be settled to hear Old Major.
My dear friends, I have lived a long life. I have had much time for thought as I lay alone in my stall. I won't be with you much longer, and before I die, there's something I want to tell you. Few of us will ever know the blessings of a peaceful old age. You, Boxer, when you have given the last of your great strength, what then?
Boxer pictures himself hauling a heavily laden wagon.
Whatever we produce is taken from us. Stolen from us and sold.
The chickens envision a hand reaching for their eggs.
Our children are born to cold and hunger.
A ewe and her lamb shiver in a frozen field.
Look at them while you can.
Napoleon silences the tiny lamb.
You porkers! Do you know what the future holds for you?
The pigs imagine carcasses dangling from hooks, a butcher's block, and a meat cleaver.
Do we deserve such a fate? Is this farm too poor to support us all? No, comrades. When the farm is rich, but we'll never get our rightful share from Farmer Jones. Overthrow this evil tyrant, and we shall be rich and free.
Cabbage! Revolt!
But remember, when you have got rid of Jones, don't adopt his vices. We animals are brothers, large or small, clever or simple, fur or feathers. Now and forever, all animals are equal.
All the animals nod their heads in agreement. The assembled animals join Old Major in the singing of their anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Major collapses. The animals stare at his lifeless body. As the commotion fills the air, Farmer Jones is awakened and opens the window. His shotgun blasts send the panicked animals running out into the barnyard. Farmer Jones closes his window and turns off his light. Old Major lies motionless in the deserted barn. A raven sits in the rafters above, then flies off into the darkness. The first rays of dawn light the horizon. In the morning, Farmer Jones lies asleep in his bed, fully clothed. Outside the coop, a chicken looks for feed in an empty dish.
The very next morning, sooner perhaps than Old Major would have predicted, the animals found their situation quite unbearable.
None of the animals have anything to eat. The animal feed is locked away in a shed, but Farmer Jones has the keys. One of the pigs tries to break down the shed door. The pig motions for help, and a few larger animals take a run at the door. Farmer Jones awakens with a start. Now inside the food shed, the animals eat hungrily. Suddenly, Farmer Jones looms in the doorway, holding a long whip. The animals cower resentfully. But they stand their ground, then move towards Jones aggressively. Jones is puzzled at the animal's reaction. One by one, the animal's fear changes to fury. Jones is taken aback. As the creatures move toward him, he backs away across the barnyard, then drops his whip and runs out the farm gate. Jones runs to town and scurries into the Red Lion. Back at the farm, the animals gorge themselves in the food shed as Jones leaves the Red Lion with his cronies. Armed with guns, pitchforks, and scythes, they march down the road. As the men approach the farm, one of the pigs sees them and gives the alarm. Animals disperse to hiding places around the barnyard. The ducks and geese fly out the farm gate toward the men and swarm around them. But their attack is turned aside, and the men advance to the farm gate. As they enter the barnyard, one of the pigs charges. One of the men clubs the pig with his rifle butt. The other animals join the fray and attack the men. Jones blasts away wildly with a shotgun as one of the pigs charges at him. Jones sees the charging pig and pulls the trigger. The pig falls to the ground. Boxer the horse bucks Jones from behind and sends him flying. The wounded pig stands as Jones reaches for his shotgun, but Boxer steps on it. The pig limps across the yard and slams into Jones as the cows, pigs, and goats chase the other humans out of the gate. Jones gets to his feet terrified and runs after the others.
And so, almost before they realized it, the animals had fought and won.
A dog lies dead.
They had casualties to mourn, and those who died left children to be cared for.
Several puppies look out a window.
But Manor Farm was theirs, and they lost no time in destroying everything that reminded them of hateful Mr. Jones.
Napoleon leads other animals into a shed. As a pig seizes a meat cleaver, Boxer grips a bridle with his teeth. And Benjamin, the donkey, takes a whip. One by one, the creatures take items that Jones has used against them and walk out. Soon, a large pile of these items is stacked in the barnyard. Napoleon drops the cleaver down a well, and a sheep pitches in some wool shears. Soon, a plume of smoke wafts into the sky above the farm. The animals form a circle around the burning pile as they sing their anthem.
When it came to Mr. Jones's house, the animals hesitated. Napoleon showed the way, but Snowball took the lead in entering the place where their tyrant had lived.
Standing on the farmhouse threshold, Snowball the pig stares inside apprehensively. Other animals follow him up the stairs past a clock. In Jones' bedroom, two pigeons release a canary from a cage. It flies out a window. Benjamin, the donkey, accidentally bumps a Victrola. He kicks it across the room. Boxer sniffs at some wooden crates, then shoves them down a staircase. Some chickens have found butchered birds dangling from the ceiling. Meanwhile, Napoleon digs into Farmer Jones' preserves. He hears the puppies in another room and opens the door. He leaves them in the room, then narrows his eyes. A goat is eating Jones' mattress, and a spring pops out. The goat catches sight of a portrait of Jones hanging on a wall. It runs at it and hits it head on. The animals leave the farmhouse. Snowball locks the door.
The animals were all agreed that Jones's house was no place for them. All that is, except Napoleon.
Napoleon watches furtively as the other animals cross the barnyard, then sneaks around a corner and jumps in a window. He rounds up the puppies and drops them out the window one by one, then herds them unseen across the barnyard to a hiding place.
Meantime, Snowball led the other animals in organizing a new society, which they now named Animal Farm. So that all might see and agree, the laws of Animal Farm were inscribed in a prominent place, to be remembered and obeyed forever.
Snowball has painted the laws on the barn.
No animal shall sleep in a bed. No animal shall drink alcohol. Four legs good, two legs bad.
This law upsets the chickens.
Wings count as legs.
No animal shall kill another animal. All animals are equal.
The animals nod their heads solemnly. A cock crows on a sign that reads, Animal Farm. Led by Snowball, Boxer and Benjamin head a parade of animals out the gate toward the meadows that surround the farm.
Tending farm by themselves posed problems for the animals, but the pigs could think of a way around every difficulty.
Napoleon and another pig helped themselves to fresh milk. Meanwhile, in the fields, Snowball motions Boxer forward toward a harvester. The big horse nuzzles at the harvester's makeshift harness until Benjamin comes forward and holds it off the ground so that Boxer can get his head through it.
Boxer was the admiration of everybody. He had been a hard worker in Jones's time, but now he seemed more like three horses in one.
Boxer goes to work harvesting grain while several ducks pull weeds from the fields.
Instructed by Snowball, other animals worked out the rest for themselves, and the farm work was done like magic.
Ducks harvest grain holding sickles in their beaks. All the animals contribute, even the smallest duckling. carry the harvest to a pile. Benjamin draws up a wagon, and a goat scoops grain in with his horns.
The success of their efforts delighted everyone, including sly Napoleon and his constant companion, Fat Pink Squealer.
Napoleon and Squealer put down buckets of fresh milk, then walk away, but turn back and help themselves. They drain the milk buckets. Meanwhile, the harvest continues. Sheep collect grain into piles. Then cows take over, pushing the smaller piles together into big ones. Ducks carry the crop in their beaks. Chickens pass strands up a ladder that leans against a huge mound. Slowly, as all the animals work together, their efforts succeed. Farmer Jones watches from afar as the crops come in.
That summer, the animals, without any help or any interference, made a going proposition of Animal Farm. The fields yielded richly, and they were cut and gleaned with diligence and devotion.
Soon, the storehouses at Animal Farm are crammed with crops.
With the harvest safely home, the animals had time to think of the future. And at a meeting in the big barn, many resolutions were put forward. It was always the pigs who made the resolutions.
Comrades, our first 5 months' plan is a farm-wide triumph. And the time has come to spread the glorious news so that our downtrodden comrades on other farms will break their chains and join the animal revolution. Go, tell the wonders of Animal Farm to the world.
The pigeons fly off on their mission.
Some animals, content with their lot, were unimpressed by tales of peace and plenty.
A cat with a bowl full of milk laughs at a pigeon.
Others, happy in their own surroundings, were alarmed at the thought of any change.
A lamb bleats at a pigeon's story, then runs into a farmer's welcoming arms.
Wherever they were having a bad time, animals listened with interest.
A bull listens to a pigeon. A farmer yanks at a rope tied to a ring in the bull's nose, then turns in horror as the animal charges at him and runs him down. At the Red Lion pub, men drink pints of beer as Farmer Jones huddles at a table with a friend. The owner of the bull hobbles in, his arm in a sling.
In certain quarters, the rebellious behavior of a lot of dumb animals caused indignation, much conversation. But nothing was done about it, for the drunken Mr. Jones and his cronies did not know what to do.
Back at the farm, Snowball gives out books.
Snowball felt that education was the animal's next necessity. Some of the animals were brighter than others, of course.
Snowball teaches the letters of the alphabet. Later, using apples, Snowball teaches piglets to add. He turns away to write on the chalkboard, then looks back and sees the apples have been eaten. As the ducks study the alphabet, a duckling sneaks off, but an older bird catches him. Meanwhile, a goat is eating pages from a book. Snowball tries in vain to teach geometry to some cows, as another pig teaches a sheep to read.
Snowball set himself to solve the problem of power on the farm.
Snowball makes plans for a windmill.
And so did Napoleon.
Napoleon enters the room where the puppies are hidden. He calls to them, and they swarm around him devotedly. The seasons change, and snowflakes fall from the sky to coat the farm below.
In January, there came bitterly hard weather. Inexperienced management brought shortages to Animal Farm. But Snowball continued his thinking for the future. And in such thoughts, he was not alone.
From his hiding place, Napoleon keeps his eyes on Snowball's plans. Snowball addresses a meeting in the barn.
Comrades, I have prepared a new plan for Animal Farm. Here it is. All it needs is your vote.
Napoleon looks on disapprovingly.
At first, we will have to work more and eat less. But my plan will bring us electricity. It will mean a warm barn in winter. A light in every stall. Sty at roost. Luxury for all. Comrades, in one short year, Animal Farm will be the finest in the world.
Napoleon moves to confront Snowball.
Dreams, dreams.
The other animals look at him open-mouthed.
A vote for my plan is a vote for the life beautiful.
It's a lie.
I'll promise you a 4-day week.
Bosh.
Perhaps a 3-day week.
Nonsense.
A 1-day week.
Beaten, Napoleon turns away from Snowball toward the barn door. His dogs, now fully grown, answer his call and run forward from their hiding place, fangs bared. Snowball runs, and the dogs chase after him. With nowhere to turn, he breaks through the barn wall and races off through the snow. The dogs follow, hot on his heels, gaining with every step. As the dogs return, Napoleon stands at the farm gate expectantly. One of the dogs nods his head.
With Snowball disposed of, Napoleon stepped up confidently to take charge of Animal Farm. And Fat Pink Squealer became his obedient follower and assistant.
Flanked by his dogs, Napoleon addresses the assembled animals.
Comrades! Snowball is a traitor. What was he really planning? To bring back Jones. Now, let's have no more of these useless meetings. Eh? From now on, I'll protect your interests. And I'll make your decisions.
Boxer and Benjamin exchange a doubtful glance.
Let me show you my plan for Animal Farm.
Napoleon holds up Snowball's blueprint for a windmill.
And so the windmill was started. After all,
a huge rock is tipped off a ledge and shatters into smaller stones when it hits the ground below. The larger animals haul the stones away.
Nothing could have been achieved without Boxer, whose strength was greater than that of all the other animals put together.
A long line of animals drag rocks to the top of the hill where the windmill is under construction. Ducks smear mortar on a layer of stones. Then a cow lifts a rock into place on top. A sheep struggles with a heavy load, then takes a break, but Squealer won't allow it. As the ducks and the cows lay stones, the chickens bring smaller rocks to chink the holes. The animals stop work.
Superintended by the pigs, all the animals worked long shifts which lasted from dawn till dusk.
Exhausted, the animals return to the farm and their scanty rations of food.
Rations were shortened for the workers, but the pigs, by virtue of their brain work, were plentifully provided for. But the greatest inspiration came from Boxer, who, with his friend Benjamin, worked early and late, in season and out.
As the spring arrives, work on the windmill continues. Animals instantly drop their tasks. As the weary beasts trudge through the farm gate, Boxer and Benjamin carry on lifting heavy stones into place at the top of the windmill walls. Much later, the pair limp into their stall.
One evening, after working long and late, as usual, Boxer and Benjamin made a curious discovery.
As the horse and donkey look on, the pigs enter the farmhouse. The pigs bed down on Farmer Jones' furniture. In the morning, the pigeons discover Napoleon asleep in Jones' bed.
Word of what now went on at night in Jones's house spread quickly through Animal Farm. Some of the animals thought they remembered a law against beds, but obviously they were mistaken.
A law written on the barn has been changed to read, "No animal shall sleep in a bed with sheets." Two dogs guard the farmhouse door. Inside, Napoleon snuffles at some empty jars on a pantry shelf.
And now, other changes in the laws of Animal Farm were in store.
At the Red Lion pub, Jones reels drunkenly at a table with two of his cronies.
Those ungrateful beasts of yours? Cheer up. They won't last. Another winter will bring them to their knees. Anyway, where are they going to buy the things they need?
In Mr. Jones's circle, the subject of shortages at Animal Farm was a popular one. And a sharp trader named Whimper was just the sort to do something about it.
Whimper leaves the pub and drives out to the country. In his truck, he carries a load of provisions in glass jars. As he nears Animal Farm, the dogs bare their teeth. Napoleon emerges from the farmhouse and watches Whimper's truck pull up. Napoleon spots the food in Whimper's truck, licks his chops, and calls off his dogs. Whimper enters the farmhouse carrying a large jar. Hours later, as the animals look on, Whimper leaves carrying a pile of eggs. Napoleon watches him leave, content.
Comrades, our leader, as wise as he's beloved, has decided to trade with the outside world. Not for gain, of course. That would be unworthy of our noble principles. You, hens, are to have the honor of making the first contribution. All your eggs. I know how proud you are of this privilege.
The chickens aren't happy with this news.
The chickens seem to remember old Major saying that their eggs should never be taken from them.
As the last light in the farmhouse goes out, there is movement in the darkness. A container of grain is overturned. A large can is toppled over and milk floods out as three sets of eyes look on. The eyes rise into the darkness. Napoleon wakes in his bed. Lights flick on in the farmhouse. By the light of a lantern, the pigs file out of the house toward the barn. ¶¶ Chicken tracks are spotted in the lantern's glow, as is the spilt milk. The pigs look around for the culprits. In the dim light, a hen cowers on her nest. One of the pigs approaches and tries to take her eggs. The hen pecks the pig on the snout, but he persists, and an egg rolls out. Pigs close in on the hen from the darkness and form a circle. The frightened hen loses her nerve and flaps up to the rafters. She roosts high above the pigs with three other chickens. Open-mouthed, the pigs look up at the hens, and Napoleon orders them to the ground. But a bombardment of eggs begins, and the panicked pigs are quickly covered with splattered yolks. The pigs run out of the barn, across the yard, and disappear into the farmhouse. Napoleon follows at a sedate pace and shakes a broken egg off his head. Napoleon summons the dogs, and they run to his side, white teeth gleaming in the inky darkness. The other animals recoil in horror as the dogs close in, fangs flashing.
The innocent suffered with the guilty, and the chickens' uprising was short-lived.
The animals stand in the barn and wait. Napoleon's picture now hangs on a wall.
Comrades, I have made a terrible discovery. There are traitors among us.
The captive chickens shrink back, terrified.
Yes, comrades. In league with Jones and Snowball. To destroy Animal Farm. Who else is guilty? Stand up and confess!
A sheep slowly steps forward, downcast. A duck waddles to the front. Napoleon sends the culprits out, guarded closely by the dogs. Their death cries fill the air. On the barn, another law has been changed. No animal shall kill another without cause. As Napoleon leaves the barn, the animals sing their anthem. Napoleon hears this and turns back toward the barn.
We have no more use for that song. Singing it is now forbidden. Under penalty of death.
Trade between Animal Farm and the outer world now became quite brisk.
Whimper stops his truck at the Red Lion and goes inside. He counts his money at a table in the pub.
As might be expected, Mr. Whimper's profits inspired others to seek their share, or at least give vent to their jealousy.
Animal Farm seems to be making money.
For Whimper.
When he sees that others are watching, Whimper gathers up his profits. He carries a large money bag across the room, past Jones and his associates.
Who ever heard of animals running a farm? Have you seen a windmill? Come on, let's kick him out!
Yes, kick him out!
The men rise, and when Jones drunkenly tries to join them, a beefy hand shoves him back in his seat.
The original owner was not invited to join this movement. His neighbors let him know his day was done.
The men grab pitchforks, picks, and guns, and mill out into the street. As the mob heads toward Animal Farm, pigeons roosting on the pub's roof take wing and fly the short distance to the farm. When they reach the farmhouse, they warn Napoleon.
Comrades, the enemy has mobilized all his forces against us. We must save Animal Farm from the hateful enemy at all costs.
While Napoleon marshals the animals on the farm, back in town, Jones takes dynamite sticks from a box. As the mob disappears down the road, he follows.
Now is the time to fight! To die for Animal Farm!
As Napoleon eggs the animals on, preparations are made to turn aside the assault. Many of the animals hide in straw, while others are camouflaged, then take up positions around the farm. The mob marches at a brisk pace, while Jones follows unsteadily. A pig camouflages a goat, which walks off and promptly collides with a hidden cow. As the mob draws closer to the farm, Jones staggers through a meadow toward the windmill. Chickens hide in a scarecrow. Festooned with flowers, cows glower from the shrubbery as the men take the last few strides toward the farm gate. The men stand in the eerie silence of the deserted barnyard, looking around. The animals watch the men from their hiding places. One of the pigs makes a noise to attract the men. They walk toward the sound and stealthily enter the dark barn. The pigs begin the attack and roll barrels toward the raiders in the dim light. The men run from the barn in panic. At Napoleon's command, the cows leap from cover and charge into the barnyard. Ducks join the assault, as do the chickens, followed by Benjamin and Boxer. Surrounded in the barnyard, the men set the barrels in a circle and begin firing at their attackers. As Napoleon cowers in the farmhouse, Jones weaves toward the windmill. Meanwhile, the battle rages on in the barnyard, and both sides take casualties. Boxer charges the group of men, but one of them fires at him and hits him in the foot. Boxer goes down, and the man grins. Benjamin sends men flying with well-placed kicks. Oblivious to the struggle, Jones kicks open the door at the base of the windmill. In the barnyard, a squadron of geese swoop down on the humans. As dust fills the air, men and animals fight desperately to gain the upper hand. Napoleon calls out the dogs. They streak into the fray, just as Jones lights his dynamite. Jones drinks as the fuse burns. In the barnyard, the tide of battle is turning against the men. As the dogs fall upon them with razor teeth, The marauders break and run for their lives. The animals chase them out the farm gate and watch as they disappear. One of the pigs has guzzled a bottle dropped by a man during the brawl. He staggers around, then falls down drunk. Napoleon sticks his snout out a farmhouse window, then pins a medal on himself. As the windmill explodes, the animals stare in horror as the rubble rains down. The animals mourn their dead. And Benjamin comforts Boxer. A vast plume of smoke hangs over the shattered windmill. Months later, winter holds Animal Farm in an icy grip.
Now began the heartbreaking job of rebuilding. And as before, Boxer and Benjamin worked hardest of all. By now, supervision of the work by pigs was hardly necessary, so they had time for less laborious pursuits.
Two pigs play tic-tac-toe as another reclines sleepily, eating an apple. He pitches the apple over his shoulder, and another pig brushes it onto the floor, which is littered with half-eaten fruit. Napoleon squats at a table in front of a blazing fire, gorging himself. Outside in the freezing darkness, the animals trudge wearily home from the construction site, past the bright lights of the warm farmhouse.
Long after the other animals left the job, Boxer and Benjamin worked on and on, giving their all, year in, year out.
Spring arrives, and the farmhouse is now decorated with a huge portrait of Napoleon. The door opens, and several piglets bearing Napoleon's markings tumble out into the barnyard and begin to play.
A new generation of pigs grew up, endowed with what were considered arts and graces very flattering to Animal Farm and its presiding genius.
Napoleon beams and chuckles at his children's antics. Meanwhile, reconstruction of the windmill continues, and heavy stones are lifted into place past a portrait of Napoleon that adorns an unfinished wall.
But still the windmill was not finished, and Boxer's injured foot got worse instead of better.
As the animals finish work for the day, Boxer remains behind, hauling a massive stone to the top of the windmill wall. It begins to rain, and as the ground becomes slick with mud, Boxer struggles to keep his footing as Benjamin looks on. The shower turns to a storm, and lightning fills the air around the windmill. Boxer grips a pulley rope with his teeth and fights against the enormous weight. But it slips from his grasp, and the rock falls on him. Benjamin gapes in horror at Boxer's prostrate form. Benjamin approaches Boxer, who lies motionless in the mud. Some other animals hear his cries and set out for the windmill.
It looked as though Boxer were dead, but he wasn't. Not quite.
At the farmhouse.
Boxer's hurt bad. We'll never work again. What do we do?
Napoleon shrugs.
While Napoleon and Squealer made plans for Boxer, Benjamin predicted he could look forward to a well-earned rest and retirement.
In the barn, Benjamin tucks a blanket around his injured friend.
Next day, the windmill work went on as usual, but now without Boxer. And during the morning, what appeared to be an ambulance arrived. Only Benjamin suspected it wasn't an ambulance.
Benjamin races to the construction site. Benjamin leads the animals back to the farm at top speed. But Boxer is gone. A man closes the doors at the back of the truck, which has a skull and crossbones painted on it.
The other animals finally recognize the death wagon from Mr. Whimper's glue factory.
Benjamin and the other animals follow the truck out of the barnyard and run after it as it picks up speed. Boxer sticks his head out the back of the truck and looks at Benjamin forlornly as the truck rolls onward. Boxer fights desperately to get out of the truck, but it speeds away into the distance, and the animals give up their chase, exhausted. At the farmhouse, a pig opens the door to pick up a case of whiskey bearing Whimper's gift tag. As the dejected animals enter the barnyard, a laurel wreath is tossed out on the farmhouse doorstep and tears rain down upon it. The teardrops are Squealer's. The animals circle around him.
I was with him right to the end. His last words were, "Forward, comrades! Long live Napoleon!"
The animals look at him dubiously.
As for the wicked rumor that Boxer was sold to a glue factory, our beloved leader would never do that. Long live Napoleon! Long live Napoleon!
Benjamin rears up and paws at the air. Inside the house, Napoleon sees this, and two dogs confront the animals as Squealer ducks inside. The animals move off.
And that night, the pigs drank to Boxer's memory in the whiskey they had bought with Boxer's life. Years passed. The seasons came and went. The short animal lives fled by. The completed windmill stood as a monument to its builder's faith and sacrifice.
A high fence with barbed wire rings the farm.
But the animal's revolution was only dimly remembered. Outwardly, Animal Farm appeared prosperous. But the animals themselves were no better off, with the exception of the pigs and their supreme leader, Napoleon.
Every building is now festooned with portraits of Napoleon. Pigs in business suits pound on typewriters.
His pig-run enterprise now had many of the frills of real civilization. And one fine day, pig delegates from far and wide arrived at Animal Farm to celebrate the coming of a new era.
A limousine load of pigs whizzes past Benjamin, who struggles to draw a heavy wagon. Benjamin ducks out of his harness and follows the limousine into the barnyard. Napoleon sits with the other pigs on a reviewing stand festooned with bunting. Benjamin can't quite see what they're applauding. A marching band of pigs wearing suits crosses a stage, then parade off into the farmhouse. Benjamin enters a gate to see what the pigs were applauding. As the farmhouse door closes, the animals watch from outside the farm gate. At last, Benjamin can see why the pigs were applauding so heartily. Where the laws used to be, a large sign now reads, "All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others." Pigeons take wing and fly to surrounding farms.
When reports of this great change reached them, other animals everywhere were incredulous. Dismayed and indignant, they headed toward Animal Farm from all directions, instinctively uniting once again in common cause.
Long lines of animals converge on Animal Farm. As the pig meeting continues, Benjamin peeks in a farmhouse window. Napoleon rises to address his brethren.
Loyal followers, on farms owned and operated by pigs, there is order and discipline. Our lower animals do more work and eat less than on other farms.
He holds three medals.
This will encourage you to make your lower animals work even harder and eat even less.
Three pigs now proudly wear Napoleon's medals.
To a greater animal farm. To peace and plenty under pig rule.
Suddenly, Benjamin sees Napoleon's face transform into Jones, along with those of other pigs. Benjamin blinks his eyes, shakes his head, and looks again. But Napoleon is a pig once more.
To the day when pigs own and operate farms everywhere.
To the animals, it now seemed that their world, which may or may not someday become a happy place to live in, was worse than ever for ordinary creatures. And another moment had come when they must do something about it.
The animals move forward to the farmhouse. The pigs inside hear movement outside the farmhouse. One ducks under a table. The animals move forward, determined. Pigs quake fearfully at the animals' approach. Napoleon calls the dogs, but they're all lying around drunk and ignore him. Draw nearer. And Napoleon panics when he sees them converging on the farmhouse from all sides. Napoleon dives for cover as the animals break into the house. A rock smashes his portrait, and it falls from the trembling wall. The advancing hordes of animals stop and survey the shattered remains of the farmhouse. The End, a Louis de Rochemont presentation. This described version of Animal Farm was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was narrated by Araby Lockhart and written and produced by Peter Agnes. For other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Production and direction, John Hallis and Joy Batchelor. Music composed and conducted by Matthias Seiber. Story development, Lothar Wolf, Borden Mace, Philip Stapp, John Hallis, and Joy Batchelor. Narration spoken by Gordon Heath. Voices of all animals, Morris Denham. Animation direction, John F. Reed. Animation, E. Radage, A. Humberstone, R. Ayers, H. Whitaker, M. Moisey. Layout, Jeffrey Martin. Backgrounds, Digby Turpin, Matoyan Wright, Bernard Carey. Camera, S. G. Griffiths, J. Gurr, W. Trailer, R. Turk. Sound and effects, Jack King. Recording, W. Bland, G. Newberry.